Commodities involve substantial risk of loss and may not be suitable for all investors. The information provided is for informational purposes only and not meant to be advice to buy or sell commodities. Its accuracy and completeness is not guaranteed.
Mike Zuzulo, the founder of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting, joins us on Wednesdays for Midweek Look at the Markets.
Good morning, Mike.
All right. As I have said, it is either the same song, different verse, or the same verse, different melody. These markets are just about, you know, ready to drive me to the end here. This is just, I guess maybe I'm one of those that has a short-term memory then. But this is absolutely just, I'm not sure what to do, Mike. I mean, you know, okay, yeah, we were short. We're at the end of the month. Usually that means some movement, and so we show some positives in this market. But help me out here. I mean, I'm digging a hole like some of these farmers are that are waiting for a break.
Yeah, I mean, this is where it goes back to the focus of the market. You know, a lot of people and contemporaries and colleagues of mine have been stressing the idea that this is about the U.S. weather not providing us any kind of bullishness with the U.S. crop. And I believe that to a point, Ken, but I really do feel as though what changed the dynamic here recently from a rally in the market to a return to that 2014 style market. 2014 is kind of our model year where we went lower into the end of August or in the end of July. We were able to bounce a little bit in August, but then we resumed the downtrend into the end of September. And it was because of the fear that was really ramping up of trade problems and U.S. ag exports getting hit because of China's recession and Europe's recession. That was the time period where the Europeans and Chinese both had big recessions, and we were the bright spot in the world. And so I see a lot of similarities to what they're talking about in the trade to 2014, and the price action has been almost mirroring it perfectly up until the last couple of weeks. But we're back on that type of mindset, and I think the reason is because the Chinese data, the big Chinese plenum, their big Communist Party meeting, all the economic data and all their economic policies that they have had since that meeting broke up a couple Fridays ago has been negative. And you can trace back the price action, I think, pretty directly to what's going on in China and the market reaction in commodities as a whole. And where else can we look but in crude oil when you're talking about it took a major strike by Israel twice into the heart of Iran to change the trend in the crude oil market. Yesterday, we were running an 8-week low. We were at a 2-month low in crude oil, draining any risk premium. I would say the same thing about corn. We have a lot of good things happening in the corn market right now globally. They continue to improve in terms of fundamentals. The Ukraine crop just got lowered this morning by UGA. It's at 23.4 million tons versus USDA's near 28 million. Export inspections are still up 33-35% year to date. Brazil and Romania export prices have rallied and come up with Ukraine. We're the cheapest on the block. And then we had unknown sales today and exports in corn. So it to me, it's getting to the point where we're in a 2014 mindset because of China. The election's playing a role in that. The dollar's the center part of that. And yet we also have these global fundamentals that, again, I'll reiterate on your show. We're at 9 to 10 year lows in corn stocks to use. We're at 9 to 10 year lows in wheat stocks to use on a global scale. And if we see a carryover increase here in the United States on August 12th, I think that will be matched with and maybe even overpowered with reductions in Brazil, Ukraine, and Europe. So that's kind of how I'm lining up. I'm still a hedger in beans. I will force myself into hedging corn because of the technicals, but I'm not a big fan of really getting nervous about the corn market right now.
It has been, I think, about 4 years since I did my own kind of private crop tour, went to Chicago and back. I just got back from about a very quick turnaround of just shy of 1,800 miles going from Kansas up to northern Wisconsin through the I states and observing. I saw nothing but great corn, except in certain areas of Wisconsin where I saw some flooding. I saw some damage, a little bit as far as some unevenness. But I tell you, Mike, Iowa's looks, I mean, it just looks tremendous. And many parts of Illinois that we were through, you know, outside of the Chicago area. So I can see a little bit of what these traders say. And I'm also maybe backing off a little bit, maybe what I said a week ago in the last several days when we knew this heat that's coming, at least in our area, that, you know, over 100 degrees again today, that analysts and others are saying, hey, I'm not so worried about this because of the stage of the crop and so on. So maybe, you know, the weather may be extremely beneficial. And so maybe that's another reason why we're bearish. But as you also say, and look at the global picture, there's nothing out there that says, hey, we should be, you should be, you know, bullish. Everything is bearish because we look like overall, I won't say the G word, but we're going to have good yields, that G were being gloves.
Yeah, and I think, you know, all those are great points. The only thing I would say is that the mindset of the market right now under what you just talked about is clearly a U.S.-based mindset, and it's been that way all year long instead of a global mindset.
Right.
And so my point is, why is that? And I think it's because we're in an election year, and we've got these trade sanctions in China is trying to buy from everybody but us. I don't think they'll be able to do that, though, and I think the world is going to need U.S. corn in the next 6 to 9 months. And again, I would say copper, aluminum, crude oil, all these commodities have been hit very hard because of the Chinese deflation fears. And I guess I feel like that we've done enough damage at this point, and it can go lower. But I think it goes back to how much demand do we get back at these lower price levels. And I think that's where I'd separate the corn and the wheat than the soybeans at this point.
So wheat is then tied into corn, you think?
Yeah, in fact, I've been hearing that China's buying more feed wheat instead of corn right now because they're not able to get as much corn out of Ukraine, and so they're going after feed wheat. And that would make sense because some of the cash prices in wheat, even though there's plenty of premium in wheat minus corn at the Merck, there's some cash prices that are probably real competitive to feed wheat, especially in Asia. And so wheat's still my leader because it's a big competitor to the corn market when it comes to the feed side of the equation.
Right, and that's where I guess I'm a little surprised where China hasn't come in and bought corn. We've knocked this price down where it's making it more palatable to them. But then again, I think it's more saber rattling and more political games than anything
else.
I
agree with that wholeheartedly. I think what I would say is that the feed wheat being bought is probably non-U.S., and that's why they're not buying the corn instead of the wheat. Yeah.
Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting, joins us on Wednesdays. Okay, let's look now at the livestock trade, and it's kind of follow the bouncing ball here in this livestock trade. We're back to this. Well, if you think we got this thing turned around, well, maybe not quite so fast.
No, and I think you can put that at the feed of this same demand consumption mindset, and it's really showing up in the negotiated cash cattle price. It's shifted by multiple dollars every day this week, I think. I mean, I think we started out at the 197 area, and then we went down into the mid to low 180s. We went back up, I think, on yesterday's trade close to 195. Now we're back into the 188 level. And I think the week started with the McDonald's sales report, their earnings report, and their global sales sent shockwaves around the market, if you ask me, because it was the down. Their actual physical sales were down for the first time since the pandemic, first time lower in 3 years. And so that demand consumption issue that you and I have been talking about due to the weak economic recovery and also these really high retail prices, they are really starting to hit. And I think Wendy's joined McDonald's this week in extending their $5 meal special. I think that's going to help us. But, you know, we're really kind of on pins and needles. And this being the end of the month, I think it's a very important day to watch where these cattle close so that we don't take out any kind of weekly or monthly support levels. At some point, we're probably going to face the same frictions that we're facing in the grain markets in terms of China demand and deflation fears. Fortunately, the stock market right now is kind of counterbalancing that. So it's a tough situation because I really want to get hedges in place on feeders and fats, especially if the corn turns around and pressures feeders. But I'm trying to give this market all it can go here the next 6-7 trading days.
Well, and I guess, you know, feeders would be kind of where they are also based on, you know, lower corn, the way this corn is being priced. I mean, it's going to be advantageous as you look down the road as well, where margins should be better for these cattle in the last half of the year.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point. And if you don't have your feed needs locked in and didn't do it, you know, 25 cents ago, 30 cents ago when I did, I think it's a really important piece of the puzzle with these global corn numbers being so tight. One of the things I did notice also is Oklahoma City, that auction that's reported by USDA, had one of those rare weeks when we were actually weaker and a little bit softer in demand on the auction bill and when it was all said and done. And I think that now we've got past these yearlings and getting into the end of the tail end of the yearlings, we're going to tighten up in the feedlots, but we also have made a cycle at this point in terms of the calves. And so I think this is a time where you really want to stay on top of the price action. And, you know, you get up to that 260 level in front end futures, again, September futures and feeders. If you can't stay above that 260 level, if you get above it and don't stay above it, it might be a signal to get some hedges in place.
Right. Well, and also, I mean, the sale barns are on fire. Absolutely on fire. And so not that we don't like to see those big numbers, but, you know, maybe it comes back down a little bit more to this atmosphere. And you know, what we saw was, I don't know. I mean, it's you know, talk to folks even selling old coal cows. I mean, the price we've seen in these sale barns have just been really, really strong. And so we'll see. Now the pork trade today anyway has come back and it's still just kind of going. Is it still all about China?
It's about China. It's about the bellies. I mean, we're hitting 145, 150 in the bellies. I think we're getting near that seasonal peak in the belly complex, and it's, you know, taking the overall cutout upwards of 105, and that kind of is my target price. I doubt we'll be able to get up towards the 120 level like we did last year at this time. So I'm thinking, you know, next week, 2 weeks, we're probably peaking in the hogs as well. And I think here again, China and hogs are probably kind of the tip of the spear. If it really gets unhealthy for the market in the meats, hogs should be the first ones to feel it if it's going to be related to China. So if I'm peaking seasonally, I'm starting to think maybe hogs aren't going to give cattle as much support as they have. And that's why I'm another part of that puzzle, why I'm eager to get hedges in place for my ranchers.
Okay, Mike. Well, we're wrapping up July, and we'll see if there'll be, I doubt if any fireworks the rest of the day today. But as we always like to say, a new month means more hope springs eternal, I guess.
Yeah, and watch the temperatures. I think those are two things the markets have assumed are not going to go back up again. And, you know, I'm not a big believer. I'm no meteorologist, but I'm not a big believer that we get really hot, don't get rains, and then all of a sudden we can cool off. So maybe we have changed our climate, but I wouldn't be surprised to see this heat come back.
All right, Mike, if folks want to subscribe to your newsletter, get a hold of what's going on in your
Global.com, research.com is the best place to go. Global.com with two M's, research.com, or call me at 866-471-2588.
All right, Mike, thanks so much.
Thank you, Ken. Have a great week, sir.